This is the story of a ragtag bunch of church members who set out to perform a Christmas play, and the director who tried his hardest to just keep it all together. The glory of Christmas.
My name's Joseph, and in the Christmas Nativity play, The Glory of Christmas, I play Joseph. That's right. I was born to play this role.
Joseph has no clue what to do when it comes to babies. So, in order for him to play the role of Joseph, we got him an infant simulator doll from the local home ec teacher. So, you know, he could practice a bit.
It's an insane shriek, baby.
Needs to burp.
Needs to burp?
So put your fingers under and try to find the... Where's the spine on this thing?
I don't know. Check the front.
Joseph is terrified. I don't blame him. Babies don't even have kneecaps.
Ha! Burping like a boss?
Yeah, way to go, fake dad.
I heard things may not be going so well with the infant simulator doll.
Hey, Joseph, your mom's here to pick you up.
Yeah, coming.
As you can see, my mom's house is full of antiques.
So I did what any good home economics teacher would do. I sent Joseph home with a baby egg.
I think about Joseph, like Bible Joseph, a lot.
What it would have been like for him to have an angel come and tell him that his wife is pregnant with God's child.
Ha!
Like he would have had to really dig deep and find his compassion and his understanding. Because he really, really loved her.
My dear Mary, it is going to be a long journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem for the census, especially with your belly being so humongous.
With child, Joseph, the line is being with child.
Right. Sorry, ma'am. Is the age difference what's bothering you? I want you to know it doesn't bother me.
Okay, please, people, let's just take it from the top.
I understand that Joseph is radically underqualified for all he's about to encounter. But isn't that the type of people God uses? The most unlikely folks to do the biggest things? Yeah. Seems like those are the ones he always picks. Because he's a God that'll never give up on us.
Ah! Ha-ha! Yes! Ha-ha! Swaddled! Ha!
Ha! Well, it would seem that the Joseph cast as Joseph in our video was way in over his head. As the director, Joel, said, Joseph is radically underqualified for all he's about to encounter. But isn't that the type of people that God uses? You know, the video obviously presents a over-the-top picture of this young man who's really probably not the best choice to be playing this role. But it reminds us of that truth, that sometimes, and actually a lot of times throughout Scripture and throughout history, God chooses individuals who appear to be unqualified or underqualified to accomplish his purpose in this world. And maybe you've seen that even in your own life. But today we're going to reflect on the biblical character of Joseph and think about what Joseph must have felt like and what he would have been experiencing in his own life, being a simple carpenter, being entrusted to be the father, the earthly father of the Son of God. Now, it's my best guess that I think it's a pretty safe assumption that as a carpenter, the biblical Joseph would have had much better hands than the Joseph in the video. He seemed a little accident prone. But you know, as we think about what Joseph, the biblical Joseph, would have been experiencing, when he hears the announcement from this angelic visitation that Mary, that the child that she was carrying was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and that this child would be named Jesus, that because he would save the world and save his people from our sins, and that this child would be Emmanuel, God with us. You can only imagine what Joseph must have thought and what he must have been experiencing even in this moment. You know, as we think about that case, we're going to read the scripture from Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25, that tells us the story about Joseph, the biblical Joseph's experience with the angelic visitation, where he hears the message about who this child was, and God asks him to play his specific role in God's story for all mankind. As we read this text, I just want to encourage you to put yourself in Joseph's shoes. Think about what he was experiencing. And we're going to read the text, and then following reading the text, I'm going to ask Jim Chapman to share a song that many of you have heard him sing before, Michael Card's song reflecting upon the task that Joseph was offered. Will you join with me in reading Matthew 1, 18 through 25? Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother, Mary, had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
How could it be, this baby in my arms, sleeping now so peacefully? The Son of God, the angel said, how could it be? Lord, I know he's not my own, not of my flesh, not of my bone. Still, Father, let this baby be son of my love. Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father to the Son of God? Lord, for all my life I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can I raise a king? He looks so small, his face and hands so fair. And when he cries, the sun just seems to disappear. But when he laughs, it shines again. How could it be? Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father to the Son of God? Lord, for all my life I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can I raise a king? How could it be this baby in my arms, sleeping now so peacefully? The Son of God, the angel said, how could it be? How could it be?
So appreciate the words of Jim's song. And I hope you heard part of the chorus where Joseph cries out, Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father to the Son of God? Lord, for all of my life, I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can I raise a king? You know, much like we looked at last week with Mary, Joseph would have been overwhelmed by what he was being asked to do. Joseph being given this task, Joseph, a simple carpenter, being given the task to be the earthly father to the Messiah, the Son of God, is a task that I don't think any of us can really fully get our own minds around. You know, as I think we can to a point, those of you that have experienced fatherhood or motherhood, we know those feelings of feeling unprepared. As I think back to when Bryce was first born and how nervous I was the first time I held my firstborn. And honestly, I know we joke about it, but honestly, there were moments that I thought I was going to break him because he was so small. But, you know, at each step of my parenting journey, I would say that I often at times felt underqualified. And in those moments of feeling like I wasn't prepared or I wasn't going to have everything I need to be the father I needed to be to my children, and looking back and recognizing that as good as I did in some things, I know that I failed in others. But there's one thing that I know to be true throughout my parenting journey is when I realized that I was underqualified, that I didn't have all the resources that I needed to be the parent, the father to my children that I needed to be, it was in those moments that led me to prayer and trusting God in his strength, trusting that God would give me wisdom, that he would give me direction, that he would be with me as I sought my best to be the earthly father to my children. Joseph experienced that, not just as a new father, but Joseph was experiencing this as the earthly father to the Son of God. Mary and Joseph both knew and understood who this child was. And they were entrusted with this incredible, incredible task to guide and direct the baby Jesus. When I think about Joseph, it just echoes the statement that was made in the video that Joseph is radically, referring to Joseph in this play, was radically underqualified for all he's about to encounter. But isn't that the type of people God uses? You know, I think the same phrase could be said of the carpenter, Joseph, that he was radically underqualified, because really, who really would be qualified? Who would have the resume to be able to present to the Heavenly Father to say, I will be the earthly father to your son? None of us would be fully qualified for such a tall order and such a great responsibility. But Joseph heard the call of God in his life. He understood what he was being asked to do, and I'm sure he had his doubts, and I'm sure he felt underqualified being a simple carpenter, being asked to raise a king. But what we see in Joseph, much like what we saw in Mary, we see a simple act of obedience. We see that Joseph chooses to trust God. He chooses to be obedient to God, to do what God has called him to do. Look at Matthew 1, verses 24 through 25. It says, when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Joseph, upon hearing the angelic announcement and the task that he is being given, he does as the angel of the Lord commands him. He takes Mary as his wife. And he proceeds that when Jesus was born, he names the child Jesus, as he was instructed to do. Joseph, in taking these steps, demonstrates that he is trusting God and he's being obedient. Some of you grew up singing the old hymn, "Trust and Obey, for there's no other way." That simple message is seen in Joseph's life. That we can choose to trust God. When we know that there's something that we are to be doing, maybe something God gives us that is specific, a specific task that we're to be doing, or whether it's just following God's word, which sometimes is not easy, whatever it might be, a specific task or just general obedience to God, we can choose to trust him and trust that God is going to lead us. God is going to give us everything that we need, and he's going to empower us to do what he calls us to do. Joseph chooses to trust God. He's obedient to God. He takes Mary as his wife, and he proceeds to then be the earthly father of Jesus. When we look at Jesus' example or Joseph's example, we can take comfort not only in Joseph, but in the many stories throughout Scripture of individuals that God chooses that appear to be underqualified. When we see Joseph, we see that part of his choosing to be obedient and part of all of those people throughout Scripture and throughout history who chose to be obedient to God and to trust God, that they can trust and obey God. We can trust and obey God when we choose to depend upon God's power, when we choose to depend upon God's strength. When we choose to depend upon God's strength and power in our life, we realize that it doesn't matter that we're underqualified because it's not our strength, it's not our resources that we're depending on. When I reflected upon this encounter that Joseph experiences in these verses, it's very clear that Joseph understood that God was at work. Joseph understood this, one, because there was an angelic message. God was giving him a very specific message that was meant for him and him alone. And part of that message was giving this incredible promise that a child, the child that Mary was bearing, was carrying, was conceived by the Holy Spirit. In this message, Joseph heard the promise of a Savior. This child would be named Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. But he also understood that this child was the promise of Emmanuel, God with us. Joseph could look and hear and see everything that is being told to him by this angelic visitation and know that God is at work. And in choosing to be obedient and trust God to do what God has called him to do, he knows that the very God who is at work is going to work through him to help him to be the father to Jesus. Joseph may feel underqualified, but he knows that the very God who called him will give him everything that he needs to fulfill the role that he has to play within this story. In our life, we can look at example after example, and I think for me, it's just helpful to look back to the Scriptures because that theme is consistent whether we look at specific characters or some of the specific messages we see throughout the Scripture. is that it's never about us. It's not about our strength. It's not about our resources. It's not about our power. What we see again and again is ordinary people putting their faith and trust in an extraordinary God and trusting that God is going to work in his power, in his strength, with his resources through us. Zechariah 4:6 says, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 12:9, he talks a lot, and not only in this section, but in other places, about God showing his strength in his own weaknesses. He says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, "But he said to him, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me.'" Have you ever thought of that? I mean, what does Paul mean by boasting in his weaknesses? You know, most of us, we're like Moses, and when God called Moses, Moses highlighted his weaknesses and said he wasn't good of speech. That's what most of us do. When we sense God calling us to do something, we tend to look at our weak spots. We tend to look at the limitations that we have. And it's okay to see those things. And what Paul is saying, that not only did he see and understand his weaknesses, but he understood that God's grace would be sufficient and that God's power is made perfect in our weaknesses. Therefore, he said, "I will boast the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." When we think about this idea of God choosing people that appear to be underqualified, we kind of have to ask, why does God consistently do that? I believe one of the main reasons he does that, one of the main reasons he chooses those who don't appear to be have all the qualifications or the power, the resources in and of themselves. One of the reasons he does this is because it's an opportunity for God to show his glory, his power, and his strength through the person he chooses. You know, earlier we didn't read it, but in the beginning of Matthew chapter 1, it's often a section of scripture that you may find yourself rushing through because it's a genealogy. And in that we see from Abraham to Joseph, this genealogy of establishing that Jesus, who is to be born, that he will be of the line of King David. That's one of the main points of the genealogy being included there. But when you really look at the list of names, what's interesting is to see how many of the names that are listed in this genealogy are people that I think most would look at their life and say they're underqualified or even disqualified. Jacob, when we read Jacob's story, Jacob, the name meaning deceiver, is one of the biggest scoundrels in Scripture. He deceives his own family. He clearly is always just trying to get ahead, and there's not much really noble about this man that we see throughout the scripture, but in his pursuit after God, in this in an incredible encounter where he wrestles with an angel of the Lord, in that moment, God changes his name. And you see, while Jacob leaves that encounter with a limp, with a physical impact from that encounter, we see that he's a changed man. And God takes this man who would be described as a scoundrel by many, and he uses him. This man, Jacob, becomes Israel, the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. The story goes on in the genealogy. We see Rahab mentioned. Rahab, a prostitute that is used, and we look at her story. We understand that she was the one that God used to rescue the spies when they were scouting out the land. We see David being listed again, and we shared last week that David was the simple shepherd, the youngest son, and yet God chose him to become the greatest king. Scripture is full of stories. of ordinary people, people that appeared to be underqualified, that God used to show not their strength and not show their resources and how great the individual he chose were. He chooses people that appear to be underqualified because it's an opportunity for God to show his glory, his power, and his strength. And that brings us to the place where we have to choose. We have to choose in our life to not only trust God, to be obedient to God, but we do that knowing that we're going to trust God's strength, his power, and his resources. And that when we do this, we can trust God in our weaknesses, because when we trust God in our weaknesses, God shows his glory. Earlier, we looked at 2 Corinthians 12, but if you look at 2 Corinthians 11:30, Paul says this. He says, "If I must boast," literally brag, "if I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weaknesses." This is a theme that Paul's building on in his life. He understands that there's something powerful that happens when he sees his own weaknesses, and it puts him in a place of dependence upon God so that God can work through him and show his glory through him. We read 2 Corinthians 12:9 earlier. I want to read verse 9 again and verse 10. It says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecution, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" You know, when we read through that list of all the things Paul is saying, his weaknesses, the insults, the hardships, the persecutions, the calamities, we might add to that list, like Moses saying, "We're not good of speech," or "We don't feel strong enough. We don't feel wise enough. We don't feel that we have everything we need to do what God might be calling us to do." Those weaknesses that we see in our life, we typically present those to God as reasons why we can't trust God and be obedient to do what he calls us to do. But when we choose to trust God in our weakness, when we embrace our weaknesses, when we embrace our limitations, it's in that moment that God can reveal his glory in showing his power and his strength through us. This truth is reflected in one of my favorite verses in Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. It says this, it says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us." We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We're the earthen vessel. We're the jar of clay. There's nothing special about us, the vessel. It's the power of God working in us and through us that displays God's glory to the world. A number of years ago, the Christian Missionary Alliance used a slogan often that dealt with this theme. And it was this simple statement that I mentioned earlier, that the Alliance are just a group of ordinary people empowered by an extraordinary God. We're ordinary people empowered by an extraordinary God. You know, I look back over my years in ministry, I can think of, seems it's many, many years ago now, 20 years ago when I was working in youth ministry, I can still remember there'd be evenings where I didn't want to see a teenager, let alone have to speak to one. Or to have to minister to them that night because I was tired or maybe not feeling well, and just as a point of exhaustion, honest youth pastor confession. You know, I remember those moments, though. I started seeing a pattern on those moments where I felt the weakest, where I felt like I didn't have anything to give. If I was faithful to prepare and do what God called me to do, it was in those moments that I would often see God show up most powerfully. And I've seen that consistent throughout my ministry, even on Sunday mornings, those mornings where I might be physically ill or just exhausted, that often God would move in a way that he did not expect. There's something about this that keeps the servant humble. Because we recognize that it's not about us. We're just the jar of clay. We're the earthen vessel. It's not about us. It's the power of God working in us and through us that will bring God his glory. And when we choose to trust God and be obedient to God with whatever he calls us to do, we can understand and we can experience the power of God working in us as we embrace our limitations, embrace our weaknesses, embrace our exhaustion, whatever it might be. In those moments, we become so dependent upon God that we know that God is going to have to show up to do what he's called us to do. So today, I want to ask you, what about you? As you think about Joseph, as you think about some of the other biblical characters that we talked about, or as I shared some of my own personal experiences, as you think about those things and as you look in your own life and think about maybe things God might be calling you to do, do you feel underqualified? Is it possible that you're so focused on your limitations, on your weakness, that you're using those limitations and weaknesses as an excuse to not do what God is calling you to do, when instead we can embrace those limitations, those weaknesses, and let God work through us? Remember, God consistently chooses people who appear radically underqualified. There is nothing about Joseph, there is nothing about Mary that would have said to the rest of the world that this is the young couple who is going to bring the Son of God into this world, that would be responsible to raise Jesus, the Messiah. Throughout Scripture, we see again and again examples of God taking those who appear underqualified to display his power. And so I just want to remind you that he can do that through you as well. God can take ordinary people like you and me and work through us, because God wants to work through just ordinary people. Because like that old saying in the Alliance, that we are just ordinary people empowered by an extraordinary God. For us to experience that empowerment, we have to choose, like Joseph did, to take a step of obedience, to trust God, to obey and do what he calls us to do. And then step out and depend upon God's strength and resources, not our own. Go ahead and embrace your limitations, embrace your weaknesses, because when we embrace our limitations and our weaknesses and we trust God, God will show his power and his glory in you and through you. It's never about us. It's about us making our lives available to God so that he can use us to accomplish his plan and his purpose in this world, so that he might be glorified. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words of this scripture. We thank you for Joseph and his example. We thank you for the consistent theme. We see this theme again and again throughout Scripture of you taking people that appear to be underqualified, and through their weaknesses, through their limitations, through their lack, you show yourself to be enough. Lord, help each one of us do that in our own lives with whatever you have for us for today or in the coming week or in the coming months. Lord, help us to be obedient to what you call us to do. Help us to not be willing to use our limitations as excuses, but Lord, help us, Lord, to embrace our weaknesses and to still choose to trust and obey so that you might show your power and your strength through us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.